Romans chapter 1, I want to begin reading at verse 1, read down through verse 7 as we begin our introduction of this book. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Romans 1, beginning at verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, through whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we begin a study of this book, I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are too. I hope you plan on perhaps maybe taking some notes. If you have a notebook, and you could take some notes. If you meet on every occasion, take a few notes along, then you'll have your own commentary on the book, or you'll have some notes at least that you can refer to in the future in regard to your own study of this book. It will be of great benefit and great help. Sometimes I say write in the margin of your Bible, but some people don't like to do that. But I think it's very helpful to have notes perhaps in the margin of your Bible or somewhere on a page that gives you some indication and some perhaps other passages to consider in regard to the things that you're studying. And so I'm looking forward to this study, and I hope you are too. You know, we're studying in the book of Acts on the Lord's Day morning. The book of Acts to members of the church for many years have been considered, I guess you might say, the milk of the Word. But when we come to the book of Romans, it is the meat of the Word. You know, it was Peter who said that Paul wrote some things that was hard to understand. Many people believe that Peter had in mind some of the things that he wrote in the book of Romans, and that might be the case, but we simply do not know. The book of Romans is one of those books that, like the book of Revelation in many ways, by the time you finish it, you want to start over again, because sometimes it gets kind of deep in the book. But it's not so deep that we can't understand it. God gave us a message that we can understand if we apply ourselves to it. So if we need some maturing in the faith, the book of Romans is a good study. And if we've been, you might say, graduates of other books, we'll become certainly graduate students in studying this book. As we always do when we begin a study of a new book, we ask some questions that give us a little bit of insight in perhaps the book itself. The first question is, well, who wrote the epistle? We see that in the opening remarks of the book itself, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Paul is the writer of this book. He identifies himself as such, and there's no reason to doubt that if we believe in the inspiration of the Scriptures. Most all theologians believe that it is Paul. Some have questioned that, but there's no evidence to suggest any other writer other than Paul being the writer of this book. Though Paul wrote the book, you might say he just simply composed it and then dictated it to someone who actually wrote it down for him. Because during this particular period of time, oftentimes one would dictate a letter and an amanuensis, someone else would write the letter itself. And that's what we have in this book as well. If you look over in Romans 16 and verse 22, you find the name of the one who actually wrote the epistle as Paul composed it or dictated it to him. In Romans 16 and verse 22, I, Tarsius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. So Tarsius wrote the epistle. But of course, it was written by Paul or composed by Paul and simply dictated to him. And you might say Tarsius here was the amanuensis of Paul, who simply wrote it down. Of course, we know that it is written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That is, that which Paul composed and dictated was given to him by inspiration of the Spirit of God. So the writer and the true writer of the book could be said to be the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote the book then. Well, to whom did he write the book? We see in most of our versions of the Bibles we're reading from, it says the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans. And sometimes we simply refer to it as the Epistle of Romans or the Book of Romans. But it's a little bit misleading in regard to the title, because Paul didn't write to the Romans. That is, everybody who lived in Rome would be Romans. He wrote to the saints at Rome. Chapter 1 and verse 7. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. So it is an epistle to the saints at Rome. You might say it's an epistle to the church at Rome, but as we study through it, and as by the time we get to the 16th chapter, we'll recognize that perhaps the saints at Rome were meeting in different locations, in different houses. And so it's addressed not to the church, as some epistles, such as the church at Corinth, as Paul wrote that epistle to the church at Corinth. Here it's addressed to the saints who are in Rome. Of course, they're saints because they've been sanctified by the blood of Christ. So Paul wrote the book. He wrote to the saints at Rome. And we might ask the question, well, how did these individuals become saints? Evidently, they're the church in Rome, the church at large in Rome. So how is it that the church came to be in Rome? Paul hasn't visited Rome when he's writing this book, so he didn't establish the church there. He didn't convert, as far as we know, all the people there. It has been suggested, perhaps, that a number of ways the church came to exist in Rome. There were those on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 mentioned from Rome. And so did they obey the gospel on the day of Pentecost and then take the gospel back to Rome and spread that gospel and others obey and they become saints in the church at Rome? That's a possibility, a good possibility. Another possibility is some could have learned the truth in other locations. People traveled in the first century, just as they travel now, and we'll see in the last chapter as well, Paul mentions and calls many by name that he had met in other places. And perhaps he had baptized and converted some of them, and they took the gospel back and converted others, and thus we have saints of the church in Rome. Or perhaps others could have, some of the other apostles could have taught the gospel, and the gospel spread to Rome, and people became obedient to the gospel and the church being spread. We know, as we will study through the book, it's mentioned in chapter 12 and verse 6, spiritual gifts. The saints there, at least some of them had spiritual gifts, so that means they had come in contact with apostles somewhere, and so through the laying on of the apostles' hands, some of them had received spiritual gifts. But again, whether any of the apostles that we know of course, many in the denominational realm would say it was Peter, but we have no indication from any of the scriptures that Peter was ever in Rome, And so how the church came to be in Rome, we simply do not know, but Paul addresses this epistle to the church, or to the saints, rather, in the city of Rome itself. Well, where was Paul when he wrote this book, and when did he write it? Let's look at Acts chapter 19 for that. The book of Acts is a good book to go to in regard to the writing of the other epistles that we have in the New Testament, because it gives a historical account of the travels of Paul, and of course he wrote most of the New Testament books, and if we can locate where he is at, and we can also locate the time period close to it, because of the time references given to us in the book of Acts, we can put these things together and come up with a decision. In Acts chapter 19, we have Paul, and it is during his third evangelistic journey in Acts chapter 19. I want to pick up at verse 21. Acts chapter 19 and verse 21. When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time. He stayed in Asia. We learn from the context here that he's in the Roman province of Asia, but he's in the city of Ephesus. In the city of Ephesus during his third evangelistic journey. And so his intention is, again in verse 21, when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem. So he's going from Ephesus, he's going to go to Macedonia and Achaia. Macedonia was northernmost province of ancient Greece. Achaia was the southern province of ancient Greece, of which Corinth was the capital. So that's where he's headed. After he goes through Macedonia and Achaia, he says he must go to Jerusalem. Now, the reason he's going to Jerusalem on his third evangelistic journey, remember, is because he's collecting funds from churches in those regions that he's traveling through to take the funds back to the needy saints in the city of Jerusalem. So, let's jump down and ahead in the context in Acts 20. Acts 20, beginning in verse 1. This is after an uproar had occurred in the city of Ephesus and he had to leave. Acts 20 and verse 1. After the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. So he's leaving the city of Ephesus, leaving the Roman province of Asia, and he's headed over to Macedonia, northern province of ancient Greece. Verse 2 of Acts 20. Now when he had gone over that region, so he covers a large section of land in a short period of time, or Luke does in this writing. When he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, note this, he came to Greece. He came to Greece. He came to Achaia. He came to the place where Corinth is located. Verse 3 of Romans 20. And staying 3 months, and when the Jews plotted against him, as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. So he stays in Greece for 3 months. I want to suggest to you it's during those 3 months that he stays there in Greece, stays at Corinth, is when he writes this particular epistle. Now this was approximately 20 years after his conversion, and at least 10 years after the beginning of his first evangelistic journey, and this is his third journey. But note something as well in this. It was in the midst of this third journey, and during the 3 months that Paul stayed here in Greece, the capital city being Corinth, that he likely wrote this letter to the saints at Rome. And since Paul was in Philippi at the time of the Passover, notice verse 4 and following, jumping down to verse 6. Remember at the end of verse 3, he decided to return through Macedonia. So he's in Corinth, and he's going back over land, back through Macedonia. Verse 5, these men going ahead waited for us at Troas. Note verse 6, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. And in 5 days, joined them at Troas, where we stayed in 7 days. So after the days of unleavened bread, after the Passover. So the 3 months that he stayed at Corinth, mentioned in verse 3, had to be 3 months previous to the Passover. Now the Passover took place in our calendar time about from the middle of March to the middle of April. So think about that. Middle of March to the middle of April. If he was in Philippi for the Passover, middle of March to the middle of April, 3 months previous to that, he was in Corinth, in Greece. That's when he wrote the book, this epistle to the saints at Rome. Perhaps January, February, or March of that year. Now, what year was it? Maybe 56, maybe 57, maybe 58. I want to suggest to you that perhaps maybe 58. January, February, or March of that year. It could have been 57. But that's the period of time and where he's at when he writes the book. So Paul writes the epistle to the saints at Rome. He writes during his third evangelistic journey while he's in Corinth for 3 months. And then after that, remember what happens? As he goes back to Macedonia and Philippi and then eventually back to Miletus, he speaks to the elders. He calls them from the city of Ephesus and they come down to Miletus. And then he goes on to the city of Jerusalem and he takes the funds to the needy saints in Jerusalem. And then he's arrested there and then he's eventually taken to Rome as prisoner. Notice as well, in Romans 16 and verse 23, that he was apparently staying when he was in Corinth with an individual by the name of Gaius. Romans 16 and 23, Gaius my host and the host of the whole church greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you, and Quartus, a brother. So evidently, Paul, as he was in Corinth, Romans 16 and verse 23, writing to the saints at Rome, he is staying with this individual by the name of Gaius. As a matter of fact, when Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 14, he said, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. So he had converted Gaius in times past, and now he's staying with Gaius while he writes to the saints at Rome. Another interesting point is that when Paul was in Corinth, as Brother Tommy had mentioned earlier, there was a port city near the city of Corinth, 6, 7, 8 miles away to the southwest, southeast, Cenchrea. And there was a lady from the church in Cenchrea that may have been the one who delivered this letter to the saints at Rome. She's mentioned in chapter 16 in verse 1 in a long list of people who are mentioned. But she's the first one mentioned, which seems to indicate that she may have been the one that actually carried this epistle from Corinth to the saints at Rome. Romans 16 and verse 1, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea. So Paul wrote the epistle, but he wrote it through an amanuensis called Tarsus. And he wrote to the saints at Rome. While he was in the city of Corinth, during his third evangelistic journey, the 3 months that he spent there. And it was perhaps sent to the saints at Rome by this woman by the name of Phoebe, who actually was a member of the church in Cenchrea, port city of Corinth. Well, for what purpose then did Paul write this epistle? You know, sometimes the purpose of Paul's writing is clearly outlined. Sometimes it's not. For the book of Romans, or this epistle to the saints at Rome, it is and it is not clearly outlined. He doesn't come right out and say, this is the purpose. But I want us to consider some things in regard to the purpose of Paul writing this epistle. will not take time, but as we could go back and read in the book of Acts about Paul and the last occasion that he goes to the city of Jerusalem, he knows what awaits him there. As a matter of fact, it's been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit on more than one occasion that chains and bondage await him. He knows that he's going to be arrested and imprisoned. He does not know what the outcome of that's going to be, but yet he's willing to go to Jerusalem and die if necessary. I want to suggest to you that when he's in Corinth these 3 months before he goes to Jerusalem, when he's in Corinth and he writes this epistle, he is writing to them the gospel of Christ. And I want to suggest to you that Paul, wanting to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, because he'd been called to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, not knowing what was going to happen to him when he goes to the city of Jerusalem, you might say, preaches the gospel through the writing of the epistle to the Romans. He preaches the gospel in its written form, because that's what he wants to do when he goes there, is to preach the gospel. And so we see at the beginning of the book of Romans 1, beginning in verse 15, Paul said, "So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, that it is written, the just shall live by faith." I want to suggest to you that the purpose of Paul writing this gospel was to put the gospel in written form, first and foremost, and then to go to Rome and to put it in spoken form. Now we see this. We see this in other places as well. Turn with me to the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, all the way to the end. Romans chapter 15. Let's pick up at verse 14. Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 14. Paul said, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." Note this now. "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as remanding you because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed, to make the Gentiles obedient." Obedient to what? Obedient to the gospel. "In many signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and to those who have not heard shall understand." For
didn't he also, go the way there to explain the difference to them between the Jews and the Gentiles? Because at that time, the Jewish believers still felt constricted, trained to observe dietary laws and sacred laws, 14 verse 2.
Yes. Yes, he does all of that, but all of that is involved in the gospel, in preaching the gospel. Back in chapter 1 and verse 15 and following, the gospel is for every man. What we learn from the book of Romans, we'll note this shortly here, Paul, in writing to the saints at Rome, the church was primarily, at Rome, was primarily a Gentile church. It was made up, evidently, of mostly Gentiles. We see in chapter 1 of the book of Romans that Paul addresses the Gentiles beginning in verse 18 through the end of chapter 1. Beginning in chapter 2 and verse 1, he begins to address the Jews. And he'll do that on several occasions throughout the book. But the church seemed to be evidently made up primarily of Gentiles. But there were Jews who did not understand and comprehend, as they did not in other places, that it was God's plan and purpose to save Gentiles in the same way that the Jews were saved. And when we talk about preaching the gospel covers so much. And verse 16 and 17 of chapter 1 lays out the theme that Paul is going to speak about throughout the entire book, and that is the gospel itself and its ability to bring about the salvation of both Jews and Gentiles. And it was God's plan. The gospel of Christ is for the purpose of saving both Jew and Gentile. That sums it up in a nutshell, instead of trying to break it down in little details, because that's what Paul will do throughout the entire epistle, is show that it was God's plan and God's purpose from the beginning to save all men in Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, we're going to see some words over and over again. Let me get back to this point about the purpose is to preach the gospel. He wrote this epistle, you might say, it is the gospel in a nutshell. It is the gospel in a nutshell. If one had never obeyed the gospel, he could come to the book of Romans and find out what to do to become a Christian. If one wants to know how to live after he becomes a Christian, he can come to the book of Romans and find that out. It's the gospel in a nutshell. The gospel that saves all men in Christ Jesus. Go back to Acts 28, if you will, with me. Acts 28. I want you to note, after he wrote this epistle, he came to the city of Jerusalem, remember, and was arrested, and he was eventually taken prisoner to Rome. Acts 28. I want to begin with you at verse 15. Acts 28. Verse 15. Now Paul is making his way to the city of Rome as a prisoner. So let's pick up at verse 13, Acts 28. And from there we circled around and reached Rhegium. And after one day the south wind blew, and the next day we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, that is, brethren from Rome, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Now note what happens. Acts 28, verse 16. Now when he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldiers who guarded him. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders, know this, of the Jews together. So when they had come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans." Note that verse 17. When he came, and after 3 days being in the city of Rome, he called the leaders of the Jews. This is not talking about the leaders of the Jews in the church. When they had come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, fellow Jews." Verse 18. who when they had examined me wanted to let me go because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything of which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel I'm bound with this chain. And they said to him, we neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you. Note this, note what they said. But we desire to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect, we know that it is spoken of against everywhere. So the Jews are telling Paul that this sect, and the sect they have in mind, is the church, though it is not a sect. They think it's a sect or a portion of Judaism. It's the Jewish leaders in Rome, those who are still holding to the law of Moses. So note what Paul does to these Jewish leaders. Verse 23. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God. That is, he preached the gospel to them, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. Some of them were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is grown dull, the ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Verse 28, therefore let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. What I'm saying, that the purpose of the writing of the book of Romans was, is Paul put the gospel in written form. Because when he goes to Rome, what does he want to do? He wants to preach the gospel. Just as he said back in chapter 1 and in verse 15. He has a desire and a longing to go to Rome and to preach the gospel. Why? So all men can be saved by the gospel, both Jew and Gentile. So there was a group in Rome, just as they were in other places, of Jews who had not accepted Gentiles as children of God. There were still Jews in Rome who thought that Judaism was the law that one should subject himself to. That is, the law of Moses. And this group that was spreading false doctrine and false teaching, these Jewish leaders referred to them as a sect. That is, a group that was separate and apart from Judaism and was teaching false doctrine. But Paul preaches the gospel to them. He preaches the truth to them. All right, we're almost out of time. So we've answered several questions. Paul is the writer of the book, chapter 1 and verse 1. He writes to the saints at Rome, verse 7 of chapter 1. He is in the city of Corinth during his third evangelistic journey when he writes this epistle, perhaps in 57, 58 A.D. I take it to be 58, January, February, or March of that year, because he was in Philippi in the days of unleavened bread. That is, in March or April of that year. He had just left Corinth. So that tells you that the 3 months prior to the days of unleavened bread, January, February, March, according to our calendar. And so the purpose is to preach the gospel, I want to suggest to you, in written form. Let me give you a little outline of the book. It is not a detailed outline. It's very very brief outline. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 17, is the introduction to the book itself. Verse 15 through 17 is the theme of the book, the preaching of the gospel for the salvation of every man, both Jew and Gentile. And then there's a doctrinal section, a section in which Paul, you might say, lays out the gospel according to God's plan to save all men in Christ Jesus. That begins in chapter 1 at verse 18 and goes all the way through chapter 11. So that's a doctrinal section. That's where things are laid out like the church and baptism and righteousness and justification and so forth. Then there's a practical section. That is where Paul says you can put the gospel to practice in your life. And we call it a practical section. Begins in chapter 12, runs through chapter 15, and in verse 13. And then beginning in chapter 15, in verse 14, to the end of the book, we have a conclusion. I want you to note some things as we end here. Some of these things we've already mentioned, but it just kind of gives you, if you've not read it, kind of gives you an insight into Paul's thinking and mind. Romans 15, pick up at verse 22. Romans 15, pick up at verse 22. He says, "For this reason I also have been much hindered from coming to you, but now, no longer having a place in these parts," remember he's in Greece, Achaia, Corinth, "having a desire these many years to come to you. Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you." So Paul's plan is to go all the way to Spain. "For I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints." That's to take the money to the needy saints in Jerusalem. "For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain." So Paul was looking at Rome kind of as just of a stopping off place. Because remember, he was traveling and preaching the gospel to Gentiles. He was an apostle to the Gentiles. Verse 29, "But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Note this, verse 31, Romans 15, "that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." So he asked the saints at Rome to pray that he might be delivered from those unbelieving Jews in Jerusalem. He knew something awaited him in Jerusalem that was not going to be, you might say, nice. He feared what was going to happen to him. He didn't know. He had some idea because the Holy Spirit had revealed it to him. But he didn't know that he was going to go to Rome as a prisoner, and that's how he would eventually get there. Any other questions or comments? We're out of time. All right, we'll pick up at chapter 1 and verse 1 then in the text next Wednesday evening. Thank you very much for your kind attention.